What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Can our show get hijacked by Mike Tomlin conversation two nights in a row? I don't think so. I think we're safe. I think Mike Tomlin's safe. And yes, I'm being tongue-in-cheek. Mike Tomlin is definitely safe. He will leave Pittsburgh when he wants to leave Pittsburgh. But I did appreciate the lively discussion, debate, conversation, the naysayers, the supporters, everything in between. And it even forced my air quotations, just because I thought it was a good idea. It forced the move of Ask Amy Anything to the final hour and the final segment of the show. So if you missed it, two things. I did go back and respond to a bunch of your questions online, like I always do. But it's also part of the podcast. And I know some of our, it's not a lot, but a few of our East Coast and Eastern time zone stations cut out the final half hour, or they cut away for the final half hour that we do here on After Hours, because they do local programming and it's really about selling ads, that kind of stuff, having a little more time to be able to sell local ads. So if you missed it, like some of you reached out and let me know, oh no, I missed it because our local station covers that half hour. You can always go back and grab it on the podcast. I did share the evergreen link to our podcast. It works every single day, every single time. It just continues to add and load the podcast, so you always get the most recent day and the most recent hour at the top, but you can scroll down. And so you can easily find that at A-Law Radio and then on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Glad to have you with us. Little NBA in the mix tonight. Even as the two LA teams get a retooled schedule to account for the postponements that they had earlier as the fires in Palisades and Eaton and some of the other locations were a little less contained, more out of control. I understand from friends who are in LA, including our friend Michael Duarte, who always joins us from NBC LA, that with the shift in the winds and the dying down of some of the winds, that firefighters and first responders are able to make more progress today, and that they feel like they're in a much better spot than they were even 24 hours ago. So that's great news. I continue to watch the news and pay attention. And it was a big day. Big day in the United States. Big day internationally for those of you who follow. So we've got... Yeah, we got a smile. And by we, I mean me, I guess me, myself, and I. We here in the studio, but we also in my house had smiles on Wednesday, and I hope that you did too. Our phone number is 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. We will start to probe the divisional round of the NFL postseason on this edition of the show, and we'll do it with a little QB news. Not that we'll only hear from quarterbacks, but we do like to package it together every now and then. Also hearing from some of the assistant coaches who have done their interviews. The NFL's got these windows where assistant coaches and coordinators can interview for other jobs and not feel like they're taking away from their responsibilities or their preparation for games that are still to come. It's a relatively new, I think the last couple of years, where the NFL has made provisions for coordinators who are still active. They shouldn't be penalized and be unable to interview for openings around the league just because their teams are still playing. That actually seems kind of dumb, right? Because if you're still playing and your teams are still playing, that generally means that you're doing a really good job. And so for that reason, the NFL kind of made this window where coordinators and coaches who are still involved in the playoffs can actually go and interview. And both Ben Johnson and Aaron Glenn from the Lions are hot candidates, along with Brian Flores, who is now done, but the defensive coordinator for the Minnesota Vikings, who was the previous head coach in Miami, also previously sued the Dolphins. I don't remember the other teams. There were a couple of other teams in there and the NFL. And yet here he is as a hot candidate for the next coaching cycle, which should tell you how quickly people move on. They did settle that suit, if I remember correctly. And I don't think that a lot of the terms were disclosed, or maybe I'm thinking of another one. I'll have to go back and look. That's kind of the idea, is that it's not being held against Brian Flores. He's not being blackballed. Instead, he is likely to get another head coaching gig after a couple of years away. And just as a side note, people do speak highly of Mike Tomlin, even those people who would like to see him move on from Pittsburgh. But one of the things I love about Tomlin is that he believes in people. He'll take a chance on people. And he is not going to be dissuaded by popular opinion. And he gave Brian Flores a job when Brian was suing multiple NFL teams, when Brian was speaking out about some of what he felt like was the discrimination that he had faced around the league. Mike Tomlin gave him a job. Nobody else would. Mike Tomlin did. If I remember, he was a special assistant to the defensive side of the ball. And then what happened? He got the defensive coordinator job with Kevin O'Connell in Minnesota, and that defense has been pretty good over the last couple seasons. So glad to see him potentially getting another opportunity. So those are some of the hotter candidates. Ben Johnson, certainly Ben Johnson, Aaron Glenn, and then also Brian Flores. But there are others too, names that are making the rounds. We know Mike Vrabel is off the table. Mike McCarthy is another one that, of course, people now have access to because he's no longer with the Dallas Cowboys. I think it's going to be interesting to see how many of these jobs go to newer dudes and how many of them go to guys who have been head coaches before. Really just depends on what teams, what franchises are looking for. I did think it was interesting, the number of people who are fans of other teams, not named the Steelers, and they are scoffing at this idea that the Steelers fan base, some of the Steelers fan base, would like to get rid of Mike Tomlin. And I heard from Bears fans and Jags fans and fans of other organizations, Jets fans, who say, oh, hey, we'll take him in a heartbeat. We will take him right now because we know that he'll make that kind of a difference. It's really, and I don't love this expression, but it is the expression, one man's trash is another man's treasure. I don't call people trash. I hate that. In fact, when I see it on my social media, my Facebook page, I delete it or I block people who call other people trash or garbage. There's just never, in my opinion, never a reason to do that. I don't care how passionate you are as a sports fan or how cool you think you are. People are not trash. None of them. So the idea that fans out there would take Mike Tomlin in a heartbeat shouldn't be foreign. I feel like I hear that every single year, but it is a good reminder. 855-212-4227. That's our toll-free line. 855-212-4227. Jim Harbaugh, did you hear his news? He's actually going to have two medical procedures this offseason. Man, 1 year back in the NFL, and he's already dealing with a couple of different procedures / surgeries that he needs. I don't know if, is that audio in the folder? If not, I can go grab it. But he himself talking about the fact that he needs a couple of different medical procedures. Is it here? I don't think I have it on my sheet. So let me know if you have it. Producer Pete is going through our extensive audio files. But yeah, that hearing from Jim Harbaugh, I don't know if you saw him walking on the sidelines this past weekend. So the game that the Chargers played when he was walking out into the field or into the stadium from the tunnel against the Texans. So that would be NRG Stadium. I noticed a pretty serious limp. And as it turns out, he's got to have at least one surgery to address some of his challenges.
The an ablation on the heart and kind of get a hip replacement too. So soon.
That does not sound like fun. Though I have a cousin, an older cousin. She is in her, so she and my mom grew up together. She is in her 70s, late 70s, and she had a hip replacement a couple years ago, and they had her walking while she was up. She was up standing, taking a few steps, not walking on her own, but she was up within 24 hours. They do not waste time. These days, the technology is pretty incredible, and the body parts they can replace. So I hate to hear that for Jim Harbaugh since he's only 61 years old. But remember, he had left a game against the Broncos going back to the first month and a half because he had an atrial flutter, and that's an arrhythmia. So it's a like an irregular heartbeat. And for him, it causes his heart to beat extraordinarily fast or extraordinarily quickly. So he did have a heart monitor then for a couple of weeks during the season, but now he's having a cardiac ablation and then he's also having a hip replacement. Oh, that sounds fun. But he does, he has a significant limp. So once they get that surgery or once he has that surgery, they will correct it, which I'm really glad. Harbaugh has already said, because people ask him, he's not considering retiring because of his health issues. I mean, going back to October, remember he was joking about how my heart would have to stop for me to leave the sidelines. That's not funny. Not funny at all. So Jim Harbaugh, talking about other things too, like his quarterback, Justin Herbert, who ended up with a 4-interception game against the Houston Texans. But still, lots to like about Herbert. I found it pretty amusing, I gotta say, the number of people who piled on Justin Herbert after this game. There are a lot of quarterbacks, Hall of Fame quarterbacks, who'll have games where they either get picked off more than once or multiple times, or they don't look themselves. And Justin Herbert has played all the way through this season with injuries going back to the beginning and training camp. And I still say he's a terrific quarterback and only going to get better as he works more with Jim Harbaugh, who speaks the language, played the position in the NFL. And every quarterback that he's worked with has gotten better. So I'm excited to see what the future holds for him after just 1 year and not a real healthy year. With Harbaugh, the two of them, I think, can be a great tandem. And we know that defense was so good earlier in the year, running into some tougher competition later in the year. So not quite as stingy. But if you think about what Harbaugh can do with defenses, plus the impact that he has on quarterbacks, I think we're just scratching the surface with the Chargers, a double-digit win team. Who knows how quickly another team in the AFC West challenges the Chiefs for the actual division title or for supremacy in that division. But with Sean Payton and the Denver Broncos on the right track and Jim Harbaugh and the Chargers also making strides, you got three teams in the division who are in the playoffs now. And Chargers and Broncos are just, as I say, scratching the surface, getting started. So I'm excited to see always how the balance of power can shift. I know that we have the same four teams in the divisional round from the AFC, but not in the NFC. We've got three teams that were not there a year ago. The Lions were a wild card, but they were out. The Eagles weren't in the playoffs a year ago. Remember, they had that terrible swoon at the end of last season and all the issues with the two coordinator changes and the challenges between Nick Sirianni and Jalen Hurts. A lot of that boils down to just frustration over not winning and feeling like they're not effective, but not knowing what their identity was. And then insert a couple of really good hires, but also Saquon Barkley, and boy, things look a whole lot different a year later. So Lions weren't in the divisional round. Eagles didn't even make the playoffs. And then when you, you've got the other, of course, the Lions were there. They made the NFC Championship, but they didn't. They faced the Niners last year, who did not make the playoffs this year. So there's another area of turnover. And I like the fact that the Rams have gotten more experience too. So Rams and Eagles, all new. Commanders, of course. They've changed pretty much everything about their organization in the last 12 months. So as a wild card coming out of the NFC East, terrific for them. And also funny that we had three NFC North teams that made the playoffs. Only one is still standing, and that's the one that didn't play in Wild Card Weekend. And yet we have two NFC East teams still standing. So yeah, there's plenty of turnover, lots of opportunity to go from worst to first every year, and we could see more of it come a year from now. So we'll talk about the divisional round. I'm jazzed up. I cannot wait. I'm glad there is no game on Thursday or Friday like there was last week. That was college football. But that means I'll be geared up for Saturday and Sunday. We have piles of Christmas decor that I've got ready to pack and put back in the attic, but that's not been done yet. So that's going to be the goal. That and, oh my gosh, my husband is painting a new pantry. It's a, you know, a standalone pantry because we don't have a pantry in my kitchen. It's relatively small. And so he's been painting, and because it's pine wood, it soaks up the paint or absorbs the paint. So it's required three coats so far. He's run out of paint a couple times. Our laundry room looks like a paint store right now. It's set up and there's pieces of the pantry all over the place. And the paint job looks amazing. Painting it white, but still has to do a little more. So at this point, can't quite access the washer and dryer, but we're going to get to it this weekend. So laundry, as well as putting away Christmas decor, still trying to clean after being away for 2 weeks and then coming back. And there's that challenge too. But also excited that Friday is, well, we're still marking anniversaries, monthly anniversaries. It's our 13th, Producer Pete, coming up on Friday. So
we made it past a year of the monthly anniversaries.
Woo! And no, we're still counting. I don't know. Maybe at some point we'll forget. I asked him, when do you think we'll forget, or a 17th will go by and we won't note that it's the 17th and that this was the day we got married? I don't know. How long did it take you to not mark those?
Maybe like a year and a half.
Okay. Yeah. So we're still marking. Also, I think the thing is, a year ago at this time, the house was an unmitigated disaster because we moved back from Texas with two vehicles stuffed, plus a trailer, two dogs. Right. And the cat was still adjusting to Daisy, and Penny was still adjusting to Daisy. And the house was, it was like a bomb went off. I'm not exaggerating. We had stuff everywhere. Even though I didn't move, it felt like I moved because I had to move my stuff to make room for his stuff. And we were purging, we were packing, we were getting in the attic, we were moving things around. We call it a slide puzzle because for 4 months, you had to move anything to get to anything else. We were trying to go in a room at a time, but you know, in January in this business, we work 7 days a week. There really aren't any days off where we can just focus, and you certainly can't take days off either in January. So it just, well, you can, I can't. So it was, yeah, it was a mess in the house. So we think about it where we were a year ago now. And of course we're celebrating our first anniversary, our first month, and we were feeling overwhelmed. So we are really grateful that the whole moving process is now in the rearview mirror.
It's a slide puzzle, but with two pieces missing.
Two pieces missing, but two people. We got on each other's nerves a lot trying to work it out. We were still, and I would say this is still the case into year number two, we do not communicate the same way at all, not even remotely. So, you know, we'd only been dating 9 months when we got married, and we were long distance, so we spent a lot more time on the phone. But we're still learning how to communicate. Like, I have to speak his language, he has to speak mine. We needed much grace and patience for the moving process and to learn each other's communication. So we look back, I think this is one of the reasons we celebrate. We look back and we think, oh, man, that was rough at the beginning, but it's a lot better now.
Yeah, it's going to be 7 years for us in December.
Yes.
So we just did six this past December. But yeah, now it's at the point where you look back at the wedding and you're like, oh, wow, that person was there. This was happening.
Yeah.
We did this. So, yeah, and sometimes, and, you know, some people that aren't here, you look back and you see.
Oh, yes.
But it's a good way to remember them and remember everybody and that everybody came together for you. It's a pretty remarkable feeling.
It still is, right? We not only celebrated our first anniversary right before Christmas, kind of like you do yours, but we had printed out photos, I think I mentioned this, and to our closest family and, well, all of our immediate family and closest friends, we had put together photos of them with us from the wedding. And it was so neat to print those out and put the frames together because I had bought these acrylic frames where you could put photos back to back and you can see one on each side. And it's just been so neat to send those out. We didn't send them until after Christmas, the ones that had to get mailed, but to hear from our family and friends how much they loved those photos and those moments and just the joy, you know, in some cases there were crazy dancing photos. Like, I swear in every single one of my niece's dancing photos, they have their mouths wide open. It's hysterical. Like, we got so many of those. My little brother, Dean, he was always singing with his mouth wide open. So it was awesome to go back and look at that. So I can imagine that 6 years down the road, even then your perspective changes. But people tell me, first year is the hardest. Was that your experience?
Yeah, because you're getting used to, just not used to things, but you're just...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you are. You're getting used to certain things. But yeah, first year, it's an adventure. I wouldn't say it's the hardest. It's an adventure because there's going to be points throughout where it's going to get harder.
Challenging,
and then you overcome it. It's just... Okay. It's... Find a way to stay level-headed along
the way.
There
you go. Even keel. Even keel.
Yep.
Well, that helps because we're different personalities, too. So generally, when one of us is having a bit of a meltdown, the other one is okay to support and encourage.
That helps.
And keep calm. Yes. So it's great. I wouldn't trade it for the world. I love being married to my BFF or my person, as he calls me. Aw, now see, heart emoji. A-Law Radio is where you can find me online and also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence, 855-212-4227. Coming up, Lakers and Clippers, both in action tonight in L.A., and LeBron talking about what this last week has been like. And also, did you see the exchange with a young fan who he waved at courtside? That little boy, my goodness, he nearly melted down just because LeBron talked to him. But it was really neat, actually, the story that LeBron told after the game. Thanks so much for hanging out with us on what is now a Wednesday night. Wowzers, we're getting closer to the weekend. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Start to kind of put a headlock on this game. Here's LeBron. Dribbles into the paint. Two-pointer. Good again. LeBron's taken over. He's got 17, 5, and 9. Michael, they score here.
Game's over. They score here.
LeBron. Follow a 20-footer. Good! Timeout, Miami. Laker lead is 9, 1:52 to go, and LeBron put this game on his back.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
John Ireland with the calls on the Lakers radio network, pulling away from the Miami Heat in the second half, actually trailing by 12 points at halftime of this game in LA, but ending their three-game losing skid. And with everything going on, you can certainly understand why J.J. Redick, who lost his home, and others who are worried about family members and friends in L.A., not to mention games being postponed, why it's been a bit of a struggle to navigate, why their minds and hearts might be elsewhere. Though, of course, these guys could play basketball with their eyes closed in many cases, but why it's also really good for them to get a win. And if you didn't see the alley-oop from... trying to remember who it was, but it was to LeBron with about 10 minutes to go in the game. The crowd went nutso. So it's kind of neat to see them react, even in the midst of everything that's happening there in the LA area, to have a little joy over a LeBron alley-oop. I'll see if I can remember who threw him that ball, but it was perfectly timed, and it was one of those moments that you'll see over and over from LeBron in the next 24 hours. Maybe Marco Belletti knows. Marco, who threw LeBron that alley-oop with about 10 minutes to go in the game? Okay, I'm going to have to look it up. I'll look it up on the play-by-play. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. So LeBron surges himself in the fourth quarter, finished with 22 points and 9 assists to power the team, though all 5 Lakers starters were in double figures.
We've been in a lot of close games this year, but more importantly, like some of these games we've been letting slip away. And, you know, I had an opportunity to kind of put my footprint in the game. I was kind of playing an overall game throughout the first 3 quarters, but I felt like my scoring was needed in the fourth quarter in order for us to overcome such a tough Miami team.
Austin Reeves threw him the pass. It was the alley-oop. Now I remember that on Spectrum Sportsnet. And, of course, the questions about this week and what it's been like for the Lakers and for L.A.
My condolences, my heartfelt, my prayers, my sincerity goes to every family, either lost loved ones, lost properties, lost anything that had so much meaning to them. It's been a hell of a week for us here in L.A., but we got to stick together, and we know how to bond together. You know, we apologize for the other night. We didn't give it what we had against San Antonio. The Rams did their job, and then, you know, hopefully we was able to bring a little excitement to the households, wherever you are, you know, to the families that's been affected by this tragedy, but our hearts are with them.
It's interesting that he mentioned the Rams. The Rams did their job, even though they were in Arizona. I told you the other night when the Rams were playing, the Lakers were also back to the court for the first time in LA, and they showed a highlight and the final score of the Rams game inside their arena, and the place went nuts. And so that's neat. Again, sports have this incredible power to bring people together and at least jumpstart the healing process or facilitate the healing process. So to see the fans get excited about sports, about the Rams winning, and to know the Rams would mention it, and also the Lakers, and they take time to mention it. LeBron there on Spectrum Sportsnet. I think that's a big deal for the fans there because they know they're not forgotten. There was a moment with LeBron and a young fan that we'll get his comments about. We're efforting it now, though I have seen it online, so I know it's out there. We'll have it. Just a really neat moment. These guys get so many requests every single day. Pro athletes, they're inundated with requests for autographs or photos or a moment here to say hello, or this little kid loves you and can you sign his shirt, those types of things. Well, there's this fan that was sitting courtside with the Lakers and at the Lakers game. And I think LeBron waved to him in the first half and he ends up, I mean, he looks like he's about to spontaneously combust. He's excited, but it kind of comes out in little kids like anguish sometimes when they get so excited, like a Taylor Swift concert. The little boy gets so excited, and apparently someone sent LeBron a text or told him about it at halftime. So he was able then to go out and take a photo with the fan and I think his mom too. So we just got the audio.
LeBron, we just saw you go share a special moment with a little girl on the side. I know you got a little girl of your own, but that's got to be an important moment for you over there to make somebody's night like this.
Yeah, absolutely. I saw it at halftime. Family friends sent the clip and was like, man, I didn't know you had this type of impact on people. So, you know, I made sure I acknowledged her in the second half. And, I mean, when you got people like that cheering you on, that brings a little bit more excitement. So she's a wonderful little girl. She's over there climbing around right now. It was special for me and very humbling that I have that type of impact on people.
I apologize. I thought it was a little boy. I saw it quickly when they were doing the photo. But yeah, it's really neat because that little girl, that little fan, her life will never be the same now. What a story she has to tell. But also, it took 2 minutes out of his life, maybe not even that long. And this little girl will never forget it.
No, that's awesome, and it comes on the same day that we see that the jersey with Victor Wembanyama with the little kid, mm-hmm. yeah, that's already up for auction. So it's cool to see.
Oh.
Yeah, no, that's already up. So it's cool to see stuff like this, and that's, you know, that's the good stuff, and at least now you don't have to worry about this getting put up for auction.
No, definitely not. There's no way that one hits auction, at least not anytime soon. Chris is listening in Houston. Chris, welcome to After Hours.
Oh, my God, Amy.
Yes.
You are the bomb.
Is that a compliment?
Oh, yes, it is.
Just teasing.
Straight from Ace Town to you.
Awesome. Good to hear. I do love
I'm
Houston.
A first-time, long-timer.
Perfect.
And you make my night.
Aww.
I mean, I got so much on my mind. I'm going to I don't want to go into the you know, I don't want to say very bad divorce, but it is. But outside of that, you make me smile every single night.
Aw, I'm glad to hear that. We're glad to give you some kind of an escape and a reason to laugh and smile. That's good.
Well, it's only I know how passionate you are.
I'm a mess, really.
And that's what I love about you, that there's not a lot of women. I mean, the women are really trying to harden it in this whole industry to really bring it. But they don't bring it like you do.
Well, I'm old, man. I've been around a long time. I've learned a lot over 25 plus years. They'll get there. Give them a chance.
Okay.
Right.
So I got a real quick one for you.
Okay.
What's going to be the final score on the Texans?
I have no idea. But I will say this. I do think that the Texans defense is playing really well. And I don't love the fact that the Chiefs have their chief starters and regulars have been off now for what will be 3 weeks, right? So they missed week 18. They had the bye last week. And while that does help guys get healthy, I don't think it always helps with rhythm. And we just saw the Chiefs find their offense really the last couple weeks of the regular season, not week 18, but before that, 16, 17, kind of going back to Christmas. And so I don't
ma'am.
Love the idea that they've had this time off. That's not my favorite thing. Now, this Chiefs team has more experience on their, like, one side of the ball than the Texans do collectively in the playoffs.
We don't have an offensive line to protect my quarterback.
Well, good news. I understand. He's pretty good on his feet. But, yeah, that Chiefs defense gets overlooked a lot. So I think it's an uphill challenge. Arrowhead is a tough place to play, but also
yes.
know that the quarterback, as well as D'Amico Ryan, some of the others, they're not going to get intimidated by that atmosphere. And then if the defense can just hang tough in there and maybe get a couple of turnovers. I mean, the Chiefs had an issue with turnovers this year. Well, last year too. But, you know, like there's games where that Mahomes is ripe to get picked off because he'll take some chances. So if the Texans can hang in there early and make it a game, then I definitely think that this could be one of those that is worth playing and watching all the way through.
It's a nail biter.
I hope so. That's what we want.
That's what this NFL needs, right? The no fun league.
Oh, see, you say that,
because
and then kind, I, you say that, and then
it's
I see.
Like they try to predetermine who's going to already win.
No, that's not true. That's not true at all. I disagree with you there. But you see that 25 plus million people watch the wild card games, and you're like, okay, those wild card games were fairly lopsided, and yet all except for the Commanders win, and yet 25 million plus tune in for each one of them. On Amazon Prime, 23 million people watch that playoff game on Saturday night between the Ravens and the Steelers. How about that?
I watched the game. It was great.
Well, and it was fairly lopsided.
The only reason is because my wife's team lost.
Nice. Well, it's good to talk to you, Chris. I'm glad that we can keep you company. Thanks so much for listening.
Oh, man, baby. Thank you so much for talking to me. Man, I appreciate you.
You're welcome. Take care of yourself. 855-212-4227. Then online at A-Law Radio on our Facebook page, too. Hey, great guest coming up top of the hour. I talked to him earlier on Wednesday evening to accommodate his schedule, but Hall of Fame running back Thurman Thomas from Buffalo. Really excited for you to hear this conversation. Of course, Bills Mafia is fired up, but so are all those Hall of Famers who played in 4 Super Bowls but never won a Super Bowl. So you'll hear Thurman. He's a hoot. He's laughing all the time at the top of the hour. Here's our latest sports update, and here's Marco Belletti.
Infinity Sports Network. Sports Flash.
Name sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Your small business keeps you on the go. Progressive Commercial Insurance keeps your policy within reach with our easy-to-use mobile app. Learn more at ProgressiveCommercial.com. Bills and Ravens taking center stage on Sunday. Two teams looking to take that next step, along with a pair of upper echelon quarterbacks assumed to finish 1-2 in the MVP race this year. But Josh Allen not buying into the thought of it being him against Lamar Jackson.
In the history of football, I've never really played against another quarterback. I've played against their defense, and just taking it one day at a time, trying to have a good week of practice, and then controlling what I can control. And it's attitude and effort, and it's how we come out here and just try to put our best foot forward and try to execute on Sunday.
Flip side, Lamar Jackson's on a mission, not about to spend time concerned with what conditions he's going to walk into in Buffalo.
I'm trying to win, so it really don't matter. I can't go into a game and be like, man, it's too cold. I can't make things happen. You know, coach, them probably send me home. Eric, them be probably trying to come, you know, have me go up there, upstairs and talk to him and stuff. So I got to lock in the cold.
NBA, RJ Barrett, a big night to help the Raptors shock the Celtics.
Toronto front court with the orange and a 12-point lead. 2:44 down the stretch we come. Barrett curls into the lane, drive, lay it up and in. Toronto by 14, 108-94. 2.5 to go.
22 points, 10 rebounds, 8 assists for RJ Barrett. Raptors dominate the Celtics 110-97. Call courtesy of the Raptors Radio Network. Rest of scores, the Warriors able to hold off the T-Wolves 116-115. Steph Curry at 31. Lakers knocked off the Heat 117-108. Bucks ripped the Magic 122-93. Damian Lillard with 30. Knicks outlast the Sixers 125-119 in overtime. Jalen Brunson reported 38. Rockets buried the Nuggets 128-108. Hawks lit up the Bulls 110-94. Pelicans handled the Mavericks 119-116. DeJounte Murray with 30. Clippers just overpowered the Nets 126-67. Grizzlies too much for the Spurs 129-115. And the Hornets took out the Jazz 117-112. College hoops, second-ranked Iowa State overwhelmed number 9 Kansas 74-57, while Michigan State top Penn State 90-85. I'm Marco Belletti.
855-212-4227. That's the number to get in touch with us, the Infinity Sports Network. Give us a call, 855-212-4227.
Inside to Looney. Looney dribbles it out to Curry. Pump fake. Fly by. Three ball. Got it! Oh, the net barely even moved. Curry with a pure shot from the left corner. And he claps and pumps his fist. He knows it's not over. But that was a big time bucket by number 30.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
One of the final highlights of the night. It's typical Steph Curry. He sidesteps the defense flying at him and one dribble to his right and he launches from the corner and is able to bury that three from beyond the arc. And it does it in the final minute of this game in Minneapolis. And if you haven't been following the Warriors' season and the Warriors' arc, they started out like a house on fire. If I remember, they were 12-3. But before tonight's win over Minnesota, and you hear Tim Roy on the Warriors Radio Network, they had fallen below 500. That's how bad it had gotten for them, where really they were back to the point where they couldn't win on the road and not consistently. They've had guys who are injured, and Draymond Green's been out because of illness, and they just all of a sudden, they weren't playing defense well. And lack of discipline, all kinds of demons for these Warriors and have really been struggling. So the Timberwolves kind of had a slow start, and they were able to climb back into it, but the Warriors held them off. Now, you may, even before we get to Steph Curry's recent comments that made waves, he finishes with 31 points and 8 assists in this game. So he was by far the leading scorer in this one, and having to do it with fewer guys available, especially not his running mate in Dre. Steve Kerr needed exactly this from Steph.
He was brilliant from the start. I hate that his minutes are creeping up. I don't like it, but we got to do what we got to do.
So the Warriors end up playing him 37 minutes in this one, also tops on his team. But he goes 10 of 21 from the floor and 7 of 12 from beyond the arc. So they needed, every last bit of it, since they ended up winning by just a single point. Again, if you hadn't heard about the Warriors and their season, the fact that they'd really fallen on hard times, they have been rumored as a team that might end up divesting itself of pieces because they don't have a real shot, at least not this version of the Warriors, doesn't have a real shot at challenging for an NBA title. So they were under 500 when they lost to the Raptors on Monday. This despite starting 12-3, they had lost 17 of their last 24. Now it's 17 of their last 25 games. They're back to 500. So Steph Curry was asked about the potential for the Warriors to blow it up, if you will. I don't love that phrase, but the Warriors to kind of trade a bunch of pieces away and respond to the way that they have come back to even, if you will, come back to... it's hard to know with this team. They've got some older pieces, obviously, and at times I still wonder about the mix because they're constantly changing the mix. It's like every year they change a bunch of pieces. But the way they started out and then, fell on these hard times and not playing the great D, it certainly makes you question whether or not they should blow it up or whether or not they should leave it alone and see if over the course of the season they can figure it out. But Steph doesn't want them to be reactionary to what's happened lately.
Desperate trades or desperate, moves that deplete the future. Like, there is a responsibility on keeping the franchise in a good space and good spot when it comes to where we leave this thing when we're done. Doesn't mean that you're not trying to get better. Doesn't mean that you're not active in any type of search to if you have an opportunity or a trade makes sense, or even in the summer free agency makes sense, like, you want to continue to get better. Nobody wants to be stale or be in a situation where you're passing up opportunities, but it doesn't mean that you're desperate, just flinging assets all around the place just because you want to do something.
So don't get desperate. Don't mortgage your future to bring in a move that really doesn't make sense, even for now. And don't make a bunch of moves that are reactionary. And then he was asked about those comments following the win.
Anybody who thinks that I'm okay with just being an average basketball, on a average basketball team, is insane. take whatever I said, I still stand on it, but that doesn't mean that you're not in a situation where you're trying to get better, make appropriate moves that help you do that. Mike knows that. We've talked about it. That's the expectation for me, trying to help lead the team where we want to go. Again, that doesn't mean that you're reckless.
So don't be desperate. Don't be reckless. If there's a move that makes sense, great. But you don't want to, A, mortgage the farm, B, give up on this season, C, make a reactionary move because everyone's frustrated with being a 500 team. Yeah, earlier this season, Steph actually called the mid Although, you know, more than half the teams in the NBA make the playoffs, so there's still a possibility. But they've been stuck in that 7-10 tournament, it feels like, a bunch of the last few years. All right, coming up next, a conversation with Hall of Fame running back Thurman Thomas, who calls Buffalo home. And, of course, he's an icon there. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.